Do you ever feel like you were born to do something great, that your potential is not fully tapped and you have a profound purpose, or there is something to do for you in this world? And in order to pursue this, you might have tried different things, different concepts, different frameworks and different teachings, from simple self-help books to manifestation and law of attraction, NLP and so on. But still, if you think there is more to life, if you feel that there is something that is missing, I think today you will find the answer. Today we will look at the ancient wisdom of Advaita Vedanta and the profound framework of conscious creation. In my own life, I've been exploring these metaphysical teachings, law of attraction, self-help for more than 12 years, but I always felt like I was missing something until I came to the ancient Advaita Vedanta, which is the wisdom of the Upanishads. After that, we created the framework on conscious creation based on these principles of Vedanta, which changed my life forever and which is helping hundreds of seekers within the Advaita Conscious Society. So I will take you through the Conscious Creation Codex. There are 9 pillars to this profound framework. So we will do this in 2 parts. In this video, we will look at the first 4 pillars: Brahma, Karma, Dharma and Marma. We will go into great detail on each of these pillars, which we had not covered on YouTube so far. So we will cover all of these pillars in great detail. And in the next video, we will cover the next 5 pillars, which will complete the Conscious Creation Codex. Now let's see how everything is structured, right? How the 9 pillars are structured. I wish to give you an overview first. So everything starts from Sankalpa. A Sankalpa is a deep intention, a deep heartfelt intention. It is very different from egoic desire. It is your inner calling. It is the heartfelt intention. So everything starts in this universe with a Sankalpa. Whatever you wish to achieve, you need an intention to begin and start that journey, right? So that is where it starts. After that comes the 9 pillars of conscious creation. So this is the conscious creation codex that starts from Sankalpa, and then it goes like this. First, there are 4 pillars, right? And in the next part, there are again 4 pillars, and the ultimate goal for us is Ananda, which is deep fulfillment and a purposeful life of holistic abundance. So Sankalpa is where we start, Ananda is where we end. And these 8 pillars, the rest of the 8 pillars will take us to the 9th and the final pillar. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 and 9. The first 4 pillars that we will cover today are Brahma, Karma, Dharma and Marma. Now, some of these terms and concepts are not exactly coming from Vedanta. It has been used with regards to in the context of conscious creation, which is our framework within the Advaita Conscious Society. But mostly the entire framework and these principles are inspired by the ancient Vedanta. So these 4 pillars we will come to in the next video. But let's understand the first 4 pillars in great detail in today's video. Let's start with Brahma. The entire universe as per Advaita Vedanta is looked at as an appearance in consciousness. Brahma or Brahman is the ultimate reality as per Vedanta. It is the infinite consciousness, which is the source of reality, which is in which the universe itself appears. And the entire universe also is pervaded by Brahma, by this same consciousness. That's why Chandogya Upanishad says, Tattvamasi. You are it. You are the infinite consciousness. Now let's explore this in detail. Let's come to the first pillar, that is Brahma. So the entire universe right? The universe, which is nothing but the time-space reality, is looked at as an appearance in consciousness or Brahma. So there is time, there is space, and there is causality. And within the time-space causality, the universe appears, and within the universe, you appear as a small, tiny part of the universe. And you are within the universe, and within this boundaries of time-space reality, because of something called avidya, which is ignorance. Ignorance is something that is within you, and because of which you experience the time-space reality, which is called Maya. So, for simplification, you can understand that the time-space reality is Maya. The triangle that you are seeing here, within which we exist within the universe, is Maya, as per Vedanta. And we are experiencing this time-space reality as this individual beings because of our deep-seated ignorance, as per Vedanta. We do not understand our true nature. That is Brahma itself, because ultimately this reality is all there is. This is simply a temporary experience. Now, as per Vedanta, the goal is simple. It is to understand that we are not the body, we are not the mind, and to come out of avidya, to destroy avidya through wisdom, and then understand that we are the essence of reality, that is consciousness or Brahma. This process is called moksha. Moksha or liberation is the process in which we as individuals understand that we are not bound to the time-space reality. We are not the body, we are not the mind, but we are the infinite consciousness. We understand that we go beyond our identity and we come out of the cycle and understand and recognize and live as we are, that ultimate reality. So this is a simple framework given by Advaita Vedanta. From the highest perspective, even this diagram is irrelevant. This diagram is simply for us to understand reality from the perspective of the mind. Because from the highest perspective of Advaita Vedanta, only Brahman exists. Only that infinite consciousness exists. So time, space, reality, Maya, avidya, all these concepts are relative. They only exist in this dimension of Maya, right? That is what we must keep in mind. If you are listening to all of this for the first time, just bear with me where things will become more and more simple. Fundamentally, there is one absolute reality. We can call it God or the infinite intelligence or the infinite consciousness and so on. This God or consciousness is within which time, space and causality appear. Time, space and causality is nothing but Maya. And within this time, space, causality, the universe appears. Within the universe, me and you appear. And we think we are the body which exists in the universe, which is fundamental and absolute. We think that the universe itself is somehow fundamental. But Vedanta says beyond the universe, beyond the time space is Brahma, the infinite consciousness in which everything exists. So the goal is for us to recognize that everything is Brahma, everything is consciousness, and even we are that consciousness. Why should we realize that? To come out of suffering. The simple reason is to escape suffering and to establish ourselves in absolute eternal bliss or ananda. So that is the goal, that is liberation. Now this is the framework of Advaita Vedanta. But what we do in Advaita Conscious Society, apart from sharing this understanding, is that we work on a process called conscious creation, where we make use of this understanding. We understand that we are not the body and mind, to basically come out of stress, anxiety and burnout and a sense of suffering through practical methods. And after that, we also focus on how to live in the right way within the time-space reality. let's call Maya the game of life. So let's look at reality, this manifested universe, as a game. And how can we play this game well? How can we live our ideal life of true fulfillment and holistic abundance in all areas of life? Wealth, health, relationships, inner peace, purpose, and spiritual grounding. So while we are progressing on our spiritual journey to attain that absolute state, how can we also play the game well, right? How can we play the game of life so that we create abundance for ourselves and for the people around us, so that we create happiness for ourselves and for the people around us? How can we contribute to society? How can we grow and explore our full potential? Basically, how can we play this game well? That is conscious creation. So playing the game of life and exploring life and our full potential can happen through conscious creation. So that is what we wanted to cover here. And to summarize whatever we covered, there are two important statements that we need to look at. Both of these statements come from Chandogya Upanishad. Number one, the Upanishad says, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, which means every aspect of this existence is pervaded by that Brahma. Number two, the same Upanishad says, Tatvamasi, you are it. First, we need to understand that this ultimate reality was there even before the appearance or the creation of the universe. So since it was the only reality, whatever appeared or whatever was created can only be created within it. So consciousness is within which the universe itself has appeared or has been created. And hence every aspect of the universe can be nothing but the consciousness or Brahma itself. That is the meaning of Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Everything is consciousness. Then comes Tatvamasi, which means you as the individual being here, you are not the ego, you are not the body, you are not the mind, but you are this entire reality. There is nothing called the individual identity, but there is only that one universal consciousness. When you explore that, your perspective on who you are expands within this game of life, within this manifested reality. Your identity expands, right? Who you think you are begins to expand and you will begin to explore that infinite potential. And from that higher perspective, working on your life, solving your life's problems becomes very easy and effortless because you are making use of the source itself. Whatever you wish to create in this world, you will be able to create it. And not just that, what you will create will be beneficial for totality, for samasti. So that is what we must understand when it comes to the first pillar. With this, let's come to the second pillar, that is karma. So karma is a word that all of us have heard of here and there, but most of us do not understand in depth what karma is. Karma means cause and effect. The word karma comes from the Sanskrit word kri, which means action. So karma is both action and memory. Whatever we perform and whatever we do in this world in terms of physical action, in terms of mental action, in terms of our thoughts, feelings, emotions, our tendencies, all of these things constitute a memory. They create a sort of impression within us, within our subtle body. So that is karma. Vedanta explains there are different aspects to us. There are different aspects to our being. So at first there is the physical body, which we are all familiar with. Then there is the subtle body, right? And then there is our causal body. And then there is our infinite nature as consciousness. This framework is called Sharira Traya Viveka in Vedanta, which are the three bodies that is associated with us. Ultimately, Vedanta goes on to say that we are none of the three bodies. We are not the first body, which is the physical body. We are not the second body, that is the subtle body. We are not the third body, that is the causal body. But we are the infinite consciousness, which is Brahman, which we spoke of in the first pillar. So in this framework, Vedanta says we have lived different lives. You know, we come back to this physical plane again and again in different bodies. So we take up different bodies and we experience this reality multiple times in different physical bodies. Every time we come, every time we perform actions, we generate karma, and because of which the cycle of birth and death keeps on happening. Now, what travels from one birth to another birth, one body to another body? That is the subtle body. This subtle body, the second body, which is called Sukshma Sharira, which we can think of as the mind and the deeper aspects of our being, you know, travels from one physical body to the next. And it gathers information and data, and based on that, we experience multiple lives. So this is important because none of the modern frameworks and concepts on self-help discuss karma. They don't discuss karma, they don't discuss dharma, they don't discuss Brahma. These deeper aspects of reality is completely missed in modern frameworks. That is why we struggle, that is why we lack clarity. So we must understand that who we are right now is because of our karma. Whoever we are right now, let's say you right now are this person. You are where you are because of your past karma. So this past karma from all of your lifetimes is called Sanchita karma. Whatever experiences you have gone through in different lifetimes, all put together, is called Sanchita karma. This is a huge repository of data and memory that each and every one of us have gathered. What happens is, one aspect of that Sanchita karma comes down to our current life. This aspect is called Prarabdha karma. So Prarabdha karma is that aspect of Sanchita which we bring to this life. Based on Prarabdha karma, your current body, your current relationships, the parents that you are born into, the home in which you are born into, all of these primary factors are determined by Prarabdha. This Prarabdha karma is a subset of Sanchita. Now, after this, you go ahead and perform different actions in this world. You think different thoughts, you do different things, you interact with the world, because of which you again generate new karma. So this new karma that each and every one of us generate goes and gets accumulated in the Sanchita karma again. This memory, again, it gets added on to Sanchita, because of which another life is created for us, where we will experience a different physical body and a different set of life experiences, because of which we again generate karma. So there is an endless loop. There is an endless infinite loop of samsara. This is what we must break away from. This is an unconscious cycle. We are not consciously choosing the next body and everything that we are experiencing. We are simply unconscious of what is happening to us, and we are living this life for thousands of lifetimes as per Vedanta. That is why the wisdom of Vedanta is so profound. We have the power and the capacity to break free from this and to actually live this life the way we wish to live. Not just this, even the next life, if at all we wish to live, we can be the conscious creators of that. Or we can transcend this life altogether with the wisdom of Vedanta. Basically, this wisdom gives us freedom from an unconscious cycle of samsara. We understood Sanchita karma, we understood Prarabdha karma. The new karma that we generate, which goes on and adds on to Sanchita, is called Agami karma. There are three aspects of karma that we covered. Now, if everything is fixed, right? If every aspect of our life is fixed because of our past karma, then what is the point of, personal development? What is the point of working towards our goal? What is the point of conscious creation? This might be an obvious question. Here is where reality gets interesting. There is another aspect of karma, which is called Kriyamana karma. So this is a very important aspect of karma that we must understand. Kriyamana karma is that aspect of karma, that aspect of agami karma, which we create in this life, to which we experience the results in this life itself. Let's say you are a professional. Let's look at an example here. Let's say you're a professional, and based on your prarabdha karma, there is no career growth written in your destiny because of your past actions, because of your past memory. Now, there are two choices with you here. One, to accept that no matter how much I work, there is no scope for me to improve. Different good things are happening to my colleagues, but my life is not going the way I wish it to go. And this is because of my karma. This is because God has written this for me and I will not do anything about it. So this is basically giving up on our life and submitting to the momentum of past karma. This is one option. The second option is conscious creation. Here we will understand that certain aspects of our life is because of our karma. And because of my past actions, I am the way I am right now, and my experiences and my relationships are the way they are. But at the same time, I am responsible for my life, because even what I'm experiencing right now is because of my own actions. This means my future can be determined by my present actions. So through this initiative, by understanding how reality works, what consciousness is, and by working diligently towards our goal and our vision, we can generate new karma, which is nothing but action, which can yield results in this life itself. So even if a professional success is not written as per prarabdha karma, we can make it happen because of our efforts, because of agami karma. This tells us that we are the creators of our destiny and our life is completely our responsibility. Through this, we have covered the first two pillars. In the first pillar, we understood that everything is consciousness and each and every one of us are one in essence and everything is just fundamentally one. And then we also understood our true nature is not the body nor the mind, but it is the infinite consciousness, right? We understood Tattvamasi. Then comes the second pillar. We understood that where we are today is because of our past actions. There is certain karma which is directing our life and it has created a set destiny for our life. Now, this is where many people get stuck. I see people applying law of attraction and many principles, but some find results and some don't. And even those who find results find temporary results, and they find it in one area and they do not find it in another area. All of this comes down to karma, basically the prarabdha karma, because for some, based on their prarabdha karma, achievement of certain goals might be easy. So they will easily manifest it. For some, it might be difficult. So we must understand the deeper aspects of reality and approach this from a higher perspective. Only then we can move towards our ideal life. With this, let's come to the third pillar, that is dharma. So dharma is a very deep aspect, right? Even the word Sanatana Dharma, dharma is there. In this video, we are not exploring all the dimensions of dharma. Dharma means morality, responsibility, purpose, sustainability. There are a lot of aspects to dharma. Dharma is described as the ultimate truth in some Upanishads. So there are a lot of things that we can cover on dharma, which we will do in some other video. But for now, we will cover one aspect of dharma, that is swadharma or purpose. So what is swadharma? Swadharma is our place in this world, our individual purpose. Each and every animal, each and every bird in this world has its own place. It knows what it should do. Innately, it knows this. It is in touch with its deepest identity or swabhava. That is why they live a happy, fulfilled life. A dog is always happy. Birds are happy. They're always in the present moment. They do not worry about the future. But human beings, because of the complexity of our memory, because of the complexity of our intellect, we have created immense amount of suffering for us. We don't know what our purpose is. We don't know what our swabhava is, what our swarupa is, and so on. Right? That is why we suffer. Now, let's cover different aspects to understand what swadharma is and why it is very essential for us to live a happy and a fulfilled life. So, let's look at this diagram and let's understand different aspects of it. Our true nature, as we discussed in the first pillar, is infinite. It is the infinite consciousness or Brahman. But right now, we have identified with an individual identity that we call Swabhava. Our Swabhava is our core nature. Our infinite nature has become one limited nature that we can call Swabhava. Then there is something called Swadharma that is missing in the modern world. Now, this can be anything. For one person, it might be to become an entrepreneur and help millions of people across the world. For another person, it can be to become a mother and take care of her children. Whatever it is irrelevant. But what it is and whether it is in congruence with my identity, what I'm doing in this world and the activity that I'm involved in day to day, is it in congruence with my deepest nature or Swabhava is what we must look at. If there is no congruence between our Swabhava, which is our identity, and our Swadharma, that is purpose, then there is no fulfilled life. There cannot be any fulfillment in what we do, which gives rise to a failed life. A life without fulfillment is a life of failure. How much money you make is irrelevant if you are not joyful in your life, if you are not fulfilled in your life. Now, based on whatever we do in this world, and based on our identity, we have something called as Bhava. Bhava is your state of being. This is very, very important to understand. Bhava is your state of being, which is basically your mental state and your emotional state put together. Now, your Swabhava, your deepest identity, along with whatever you do in this world in terms of activity, with purpose or without purpose, gives rise to your Bhava, your state of being. Your Bhava again gives rise to your life. Whatever you call my life today, in terms of your wealth, health, relationships, and inner peace. So, all of these areas of life, which put together becomes our life, is influenced by our Bhava, our state of being. Because based on our state of being, we think different thoughts. We hold different beliefs, right? Even beliefs are influenced by our identity. And we feel different emotions. So our emotions, belief systems, thoughts, all put together, right, constitutes our Bhava. And all of this, based on all of this, we take different actions in this world. Actions are nothing but karma, like we understood. The new karma that we generate, the Kriyamana karma. And based on this, we have a certain kind of results in this world, which is again our current life. Our current life of wealth, health, relationships, and inner peace is influenced by our actions, which in turn is influenced by our state of being, which is here, which again is influenced by our Swabhava, which is our core identity. And the infinite consciousness, the source of creation, is simply channeling through the Swabhava and making all of this happen. It is just like electricity. Right, we can plug in different kinds of bulbs to electricity, and that same electricity manifests as different kinds of light. We can plug in a 10 watt bulb and it manifests as a certain amount of light, and we can plug in a 100 watt bulb and the same electricity manifests as a higher form of light and a higher intensity of light. Similarly, the source is always the same. The infinite consciousness is always the same. If we work on our identity and if we make our identity into our ideal Swabhava, then we manifest our ideal life. But if we do not work on our identity, then whatever our current life is, it remains the same. That is why Krishna says in Gita, right? You are your best friend, you are your worst enemy. In the sixth chapter, in the sixth verse, Sri Krishna says something like this. If you work on yourself, you can be your greatest ally. This is what he is speaking about. Krishna is talking about our Swabhava or our deepest identity. If we work on this and if we make this our ally, then whatever life we wish to experience, it is possible. Otherwise, this identity itself becomes our greatest enemy and we will not be able to manifest our ideal life. So this is the framework. But why is this important? Why is purpose important? Purpose is important to transform our Swabhava and our Bhava. If we are not doing something which we find meaning in, then our bhava or our state of being will be negative. We will not be fulfilled. We will always be in stress, anxiety, burnout, and so on. Only if we find meaning in our work, only if we pursue our passions can we be truly fulfilled. Only then our bhava transforms, which in turn transforms our life in a beautiful way. That is why purpose is important. This doesn't mean that you need to quit your job and do something else. So many people, when they understand this wisdom, find meaning in whatever they are doing currently. And some others, when there is total incongruency between their purpose and their identity, they will find something else to do. We can only do two things here. We can either love what we do or we can do what we love. There are only two options if we truly have to live a fulfilled life. And that is why finding purpose or swadharma is important. After this comes marma, which is a very important pillar that brings the first three pillars together, which basically culminates everything that we have covered so far. Now, this principle states that the external reality, right? Whatever we call as the external reality is a manifestation or is a reflection of our identity. So, our life, right? In terms of wealth, health, relationships, and inner peace. All these things are a reflection of our core identity or swabhava. So that is the secret. Most of us do not understand this. We think that we are the victims of the external reality and the reality is simply happening to us. That is why most people are unable to change their world. They are unable to change their reality. In truth, our own deepest being, our own deepest nature, that is the swabhava, is creating a certain kind of life for us. How it does that, we already looked at, right? It creates something called as the bhava. Bhava is the state of being, that is the mental and the emotional state put together, which in turn constitutes our reality. In Vedanta, we see this in many, many places. Ashtavakra said, Yamati Sagati Bhavet. However you keep your mind and the intellect, such a kind of life you live. Shri Krishna says in Gita, man is made by his beliefs. Whatever he believes deeply, such a kind of life he lives. So Vedanta time and again equates our deepest being to our external reality, whatever we experience. So this is what we must understand. And this is what we must work on. Marma is the understanding that our identity creates our reality. And here, there are three paradigms that we must look at. There is being, there is doing, there is having. And each of these paradigms are connected. Now, most people, right, are at this level, having. If we look at people around this world, most of them are focused on having. I wish to have this, I wish to have that, I wish to have that car, that amount of money and so on. They are not thinking about anything else. That is why they are stuck. It is very, very difficult for people at this paradigm to manifest something profound in their life because their only focus is having. This is the lowest paradigm where there is the lowest leverage. Then comes the second paradigm, that is doing. Here, there are many professionals, entrepreneurs in this world who believe that working hard will yield success. I will hustle, I will work hard, I will do whatever it takes to see success in my life. That is what many people believe nowadays. Now, there is some truth to this because when we work hard, that constitutes karma. Like we discussed earlier, there is a certain component of karma called kriyamana karma, which yields results in this life. And hence, these people might be quite successful also in terms of money or in terms of their professional careers. But this comes at a price. At this level, at this paradigm, people are usually stressful. They are worried. They are always working. They do not have time for themselves and their family. They do not have time to pursue their passions or spiritual goals. They are stuck with work and they are simply doing. This is the second level where the leverage is slightly higher compared to having paradigm, but still is limited. Now then comes being, where the leverage is infinite. When we understand that our potential is truly infinite through the wisdom of Vedanta, and we can truly be whoever we wish to be within us, then that understanding and that expansion of our identity can transform our being. And when we transform our being, then our doing and our having naturally transforms. So this is very important to understand. Each and every one of us, we have a certain kind of being. This being is nothing but this swabhava that we discussed earlier. We have a certain kind of an identity or swabhava to us. We have an individual identity. That is the being. Whoever we are right now, that being is influencing our doing, is influencing our actions and our activity. And that in turn is creating a certain kind of having for us, which is this life, whatever we've covered here in terms of wealth, health, relationships and inner peace. So our being is influencing our doing, and which in turn results to having. But if we understand through the wisdom of Vedanta that our being itself can be changed, because the being itself, this identity itself, is a mask. We are not the being also. Ultimately, we are the infinite consciousness that is beyond the being, which is the true nature. Once we understand that, and when we transform our being, that in turn transforms our doing, which will result to our having of our ideal life.